So, Al, you want the good news or the bad news?
Let's go glass half empty first. Bad news.
Not a good week for you in the picks.
Yeah.
That you only had 7 points. You didn't do as badly as
actually,
you thought.
Actually, I'm surprised I had seven.
Yeah, you got your six, you hit your top pick, and then you hit your last pick. So you had 7 points. That's the bad news. You finished last in the week. The good news is you still have the overall lead.
Okay.
You still have the overall lead. You have 25 total points. Taylor and I were very close this week. I nipped him by 1 point. I had 15. He had 14.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got him by 1 point. I am a point behind you, Slee. You have 25. I have 24. Taylor has moved into third place, very close by with 19. And Emily, you got half of the picks right. Unfortunately, they were in the bottom half for the most of them. Only 8 points for you. You have 11 total. You're going to have to get hot over the last 2 weeks.
Who knows? Second half, finish strong and then finish fast, you know?
Here's the advice that I'm going to give. Let's not have fun and take the unders moving forward.
No, not a chance. I'm never taking an under. Not a chance. But I'll just put them not at my 5 and 6 this time.
Yeah, I was going to say, would you like to see where I crossed out your overs on the sheet here?
By the way, like not having fun, that is half of the definition of Slee. How did I not go with the unders? Should have listened to you, Trev.
Yeah, you're the anti-fun. Damn. You like to pick the unders. They both hit along the way.
Also, Travis, people are agreeing with me about my breakfast lasagna. 805 Raider says, heck yes, breakfast lasagna. I've never been more disappointed in Travis, the tone in your voice when you questioned Emily's pick.
No. If that was the tone that was conveyed, that was not my intent at all. I was surprised. I'd never attempted a breakfast lasagna, but I'm intrigued.
Also,
let's also say lasagna at 7 in the morning. A little early for lasagna.
No, it's
a little early for lasagna.
I don't know if it is, Al. That's what I'm saying. I'm intrigued by the
gives you an opportunity to work off all the calories as the day
That's
goes
right.
on.
Cold
That's right.
breakfast lasagna, like a little square. You bright. It's more.
How
like,
little are we talking? Like, are we talking like 4x4?
I would say it's like maybe the palm of my hand is the size of
a pretty good
lasagna.
Size.
I don't know.
Wedge
don't
a brick of lasagna.
Yeah, but then you just do that because it's all when it's cold, the layers go all together. It doesn't like soup out. Honestly, cold lasagna is better than warm lasagna if you're going to ask me.
Look, you're making a powerful case.
I don't know. I can't do that. What about cheesecake for breakfast? How about that? That's like Clinton Yates move.
I don't know if I know. I don't need something sweet.
I'm okay with sweet. I don't want cheesecake. I'm okay with sweet because of coffee, right? Give me something sweet with a coffee, a croissant, something like that,
but not
cheesecake.
But a banana split.
Yep.
There we go.
Hot fudge sundae. The rooster crows and you put a couple of scoops of ice cream and some hot fudge and some nuts and go to town.
I'm all in.
I went to the farmer's market this weekend and it was in Mar Vista. And this one stand had these like tiny little pancakes. It was like Dutch pancakes or whatever.
They
looked so good. And then the station next to that was like French pastries, like croissants. Sure. That the woman was French. And I was like, well, I'm going to spend $50 on these things. But it was lovely.
Somebody wants to help you out with your domestic life, Slee. Let's go to Whittier and Daniel. Daniel, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up?
Yo, what's happening, man? I just want to help y'all out with some domestication issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, really, with like the sink, all you really got to do is pour a bottle of Coke down there. Bottle of Coke, carbonation, and the acidity will break it all down. Even that.
Slee, what do you think? Swing by 7-Eleven and grab a Coke?
By the way, if Coke can do that, right? Like if water can't break down what you need to break down, but Coke can, does that not say a little bit about Coke?
Yeah, but that's...
My gosh.
So I'm sure we've all done this.
Diet Coke can't do it. But you get the regular Coke.
Third or fourth grade, I forget, maybe second grade. You do the experiment, right? When you start to lose your baby teeth and they have everybody save one of the teeth and bring it into school and they put it in, one tooth goes into a cup of water, the other tooth goes into a cup of Coca-Cola, and you pull the tooth out a few days later. Let's just say that I believe him when he says it will melt hair. I remember seeing that experiment as a little kid. I am fully aware.
Another Coke-related thing. So this is what my family would do. Because where we go in Hilton Head, there's a lot of jellyfish. So obviously there's the one method that everyone knows to deal with
Peeing
jellyfish. Yes. But you can also put Coke on it. And it also, you know, has a similar reaction to what peeing on it does. So just so you know. And also clogged drains, vinegar, baking soda clears it up.
Or you just, you know, pull out all the mess like I was talking about. Get the hanger, that little thing with all the teeth, and you
I'll just go to Power Pro Plumbing. We'll just go to one of our people.
Well, they could either pay a professional plumber or get a Big Gulp. I'm going to at least try the Big Gulp method first. Lakers made a deal earlier today. Kendrick Nunn and 3 second-round picks are headed out, and Rui Hachimura from the Wizards is coming in. He is a big body who shoots reasonably well. This is what the Lakers need. The cost was pretty low. I like it. I don't know if it makes them a lot better, but it has the potential to make them a little better without a ton of exposure.
So it's a need, right? I think ultimately for the Lakers right now, listen, there's no reason to sugarcoat it. Anthony Davis has to be healthy. AD's got to be there for this final stretch. I think if you'd have told me they're about 18, maybe 19 games in without Anthony Davis in this specific injury, he got it December 16th against Denver. They're above 500 without AD. I don't know how they've done it, but they're above 500 without Anthony Davis.
That's amazing. I agree.
No, I agree.
That is legitimately amazing that that's true. And it, even by just one game, this felt like if he's going to miss 20 games just to round it off.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, if you can win 6 or 7, that's pretty darn good. That they're winning half of them is amazing.
Winning half of them, and you know, I thought this morning – we were going to talk about, before the trade went down, which it went down, whatever, an hour and a half ago or something like that, I thought we were going to spend some time talking about, I don't know how they beat Memphis, but they did, and you got guys that just kind of keep grinding it out. Yesterday, you're down 25 on the road in Portland, which I don't know why Portland is, it always has been a really, really difficult place for the Lakers to win. They had it won, I think, there since 2019 was the last time they won.
Jeez.
Down 25 at the half. And come all the way back and win that game, I thought we were going to spend some time talking about that. Instead, they're a couple games or whatever it is over 500 without AD. It looks like Anthony Davis comes back this week. There's a chance that AD, maybe by the time you get to Saturday in Boston and you start that 5-game road trip, AD might be there. Lonnie Walker might be there. We'll see. Reeves is going to be reevaluated another week. But what the Lakers, one of their biggest issues walking into the season is, why do you have 24 guards? Why do you have 24 point guards? Right? You don't have enough wings.
You need one of them to be in the locker room to tell you to stay swaggy at the half so you can come back from 25 down. You need one to do that.
You don't have enough wings. You don't have enough size. At least this Hachimura, for those who don't know, it's not like he's getting a lot of PT with the Wizards because Kyle Kuzma is there and they kind of both play that same exact role. He shot over 40% from three on catch and shoots, right? And I only reason why I mention that is because
he's going to get a lot of catch and shoots.
That's going to be a lot of his looks. A lot of his looks is going to be the attention's on Bron, it's on AD. He's going to get those kind of looks. And just as important, he's a 6'8 wing, which is basically the perfect size that you could have in the NBA of somebody that can guard multiple positions. And Lakers are in desperate need of a player of that size. Will it work perfect? I have no idea. I just know that the Lakers have a need for someone like that, and someone like that's going to be coming in.
All right, we got some phone calls that want to get in on this. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Let's go to Santa Ana and Enrique. Enrique, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's going on?
We did it, guys. Well, first of all, happy Lunar New Year's to all my people. I'm a Mexican man, but I have a lot of people all over the world, the Vietnamese. It was Lunar New Year, everybody, and I was with them the last 2 days, and I made it to work.
Happy
just
New
to
Year.
Hear this news. Just to hear this news. Amazing. And let me tell you why, guys. So Rui Hachimura, I've seen this guy since Gonzaga. He was a Zag. He was putting up numbers. I remember he was about to get drafted. There was hype. And I've seen some of his international games, the Japanese games, some World Cup, some Olympic stuff. This guy's low-key. The thing is, we have a little Tokyo here in L.A. He needs to be comfortable. My man Hachimura, he needs ramen. He needs sashimi, the highest grade. And he needs AD and Bron to show him the way, baby. So we have pieces now. You know, I like Kendrick Nunn. He started to come up, and his trade value went up, clearly. And now we have a legitimate 24-year-old, 6'8", prototypical 3-and-D guy who, you know, and I love Kuzma, guys, but this guy's young. He's 24. I think he's ready. He's ready for that limelight. So I'm excited. I think this is an exciting time for L.A. basketball again since the Westbrook trade played out, however it played out. I think we have a young guy that we could build on, and he's going to be a rotation player.
Yeah, Enrique, let me get in there real quick. I appreciate the phone call, and because you have a lot of stuff in there that I think Al and I both want to respond to. Al, I want to come back, and I want to do what he was talking about. Just from a pure basketball standpoint, what are the Lakers looking for him to do? Because he doesn't need to shine. He just needs to play.
Yep.
He just needs to knock down some shots, which I think is exactly what the Lakers need and are looking for and may have found. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, Slay, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit right here. Four teams left. Who wins the Super Bowl?
Why am I now all of a sudden just shifting and jumping on the bandwagon of, I don't think it's a team you're thinking of. I think it's going to be Eagles-Cincy now in the Super Bowl, and I think I'll take the Eagles.
Really?
Yeah, it's an overreaction to one win against the Giants.
Yeah, you didn't seem super confident about that.
No,
I
wasn't.
You kind of backed into that one a little bit.
I mean, Cincy's defense was so good against Buffalo,
yeah,
and we obviously know what Burrow and Chase are doing. That's probably should be the pick, but they still got to go through KC first.
I think that's my pick, right? The Cincinnati, and just looking as – because – you go back to that first game that they played against Baltimore. Baltimore makes everything look ugly. That's what Baltimore does, is everything
muddy the water.
Looks
yep.
hard and difficult, and mm-hmm. you don't score a lot of points against that team. They make you look a little out of sorts, but they won the game.
A divisional game, too.
A divisional game. Mm-hmm. They go in there last weekend against Buffalo. That was a mismatch. That felt – and Buffalo's good. I know that it didn't look good on that final Sunday. They're a good team that got pushed around by a road team in the snow.
Well, Trav, they also struggled against Miami, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, that game, I think if you'd have ranked all the teams that made the postseason, if Miami's not the worst, they're low on that list, right? And Miami was in the game without Tua, right? And they had opportunities to potentially win that game. The turnovers of the Buffalo Bills, they hadn't looked clean in a couple weeks. So let's put it that way.
So I'm here at Riviera. Mm-hmm. It's media day at the Genesis Invitational. Going to play with the contest winner coming up here in just a little bit. I want a little credit for exercising unbelievable self-control. I walked
over.
Was
there lasagna?
There wasn't, but we're in the neighborhood. What they do have, Slee, I walked over to get my little glass of water here, go in there. Something smells amazing. I'm like looking around and what's going on? They have a carving station. There's guys handing out slabs of prime rib that are the size of
okay.
a laptop.
All right. But can I ask you a question? What's wrong with grabbing a little bit of a piece? You don't
how
need to have restraint.
How am I going to eat a piece of prime rib in 4 minutes between commercials? It's just, I need to savor the
you
prime
rib. You can find
rib,
a way.
So.
I have faith in you. You would find a way in 4 minutes it done.
But see, here's the thing. You want a little of the jus, right? The little au jus that you put over there. A little bit of that horseradish cream.
Sure.
So just every bite needs to be exactly. I just don't want to shovel it into my face. This isn't a Big Mac that you're just trying to eat to get to the next thing. It's a prime rib.
Do you
That's
notice
something to savor?
Do you guys notice that when Trav talks about good food, like quality food, his voice changes?
What do you mean?
Like you go into a very, it becomes very soothing. It's
it's
almost like you become a therapist, and you're like, you know, you just got to make sure that you have just the right amount of this, and
the right
your your voice changes a little
bit. And the horseradish. And you just put a little, you know, big. We see, if you're doing it right, you'll kind of dip it in the jus first, and then you just kind of drag the meat to just a little bit of the horseradish.
Sure.
There's a bite right there. And now, not today because we're working, but maybe there's a glass of wine on the table. And you take a little sip of the wine.
What's wrong with that?
Kind of chit chat for a minute or so, and then take another bite. And I feel like I need a sterling silver candelabra on my Comrex here.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Okay. What would you do if someone random dipped the prime rib in the au jus that everyone's sharing? Would you say something to them?
That's animal behavior. Yes.
Yeah, that's the media room. Cripple.
That's sleaze pulled pork that we're talking about.
And right. They get all the way down to almost like about 2 inches deep in their fingers.
Just two knuckles. They're two knuckles deep in the pulled pork. I gave you an hour and nearly 22 minutes to tell me about the steak, and you haven't done it.
Okay, here we go.
That bad?
No. I got you. All right. So cooked it yesterday instead of Saturday, whatever circumstances. It was perfect. It was kind of right in the middle of the day. Pre-game show wasn't going to start till 4:30, so I had some time to do it. We actually did steak. We did a New York strip, and we did some salmon. Did some sweet potatoes like we did last time. Did some broccoli, some spinach. Kind of got the whole thing going. Some avocado as well. So it was a nice little spread there. The steak specifically. So the biggest difference now is you were nice enough last week to bring in an 80-pound cast iron skillet.
Well, it's iron. I mean, by definition, it's heavy.
100%. But you were nice enough to bring that in. And what you said was, this is probably the game changer. That was probably 80% of the reason why you burnt when I was searing my steak.
Trying to coach you up a little bit.
Exactly. Sure. So my thought process right out the gate was, all right, I'm going to heat up the pan first. I'm going to put I'm going to put avocado oil, but I'm going to put a little bit less than I put last time. If I need to add a little bit, then I'd rather add than have to subtract. Okay.
Okay.
But I actually put the right amount. It was enough to kind of just that one little layer all the way across the bottom, right?
Yep.
And then it got to searing. So.
So quick question.
Yep.
Did you heated up the pan with the oil in it, and then you heated up the pan and then added the oil to it?
Heated up the pan. Pan is piping hot.
Okay.
Then I added the oil.
And then you let the oil get hot before you put the meat in, right?
Give it a second. Let it do its thing. It's kind of just...
Was the oil dancing, Slee? Was it kind of
shimmering? That's actually a good description. Yep, yes. That's right. That's what Emily said. Yes, it was a little...
Shimmery.
It was a little genuine, right?
Shimmy
like there was a little dancing going on. Like Morales when he's in here on two. Exactly.
Sure.
It was kind of giving its little bump like that, okay? So... then it's time. I had already, you know, paper towel on the steak. I already seasoned it, just garlic powder, pepper, and kosher salt. So I just used those three. Same thing again.
Yep.
And I did what I did last week. The difference was the time that I spent searing a lot different than a week ago.
Okay.
So this time it was much more, I'm holding the steak out the tongs. I'm doing the fat side first.
Okay.
I'm putting that on, and it was... couldn't have been more than a minute, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, that looks good. I kind of based it more off of how it would look.
Sure.
Then I do one side, kind of the same exact thing. I think I did what I had read before last week was 2 minutes on each side. 2 minutes was way too long, at least for this specific me
attempt.
Using exactly this. So I did about maybe a minute and some change on one side. I look it over. I'm like, okay, that's a nice crisp right there.
Okay.
Turn it over, do the same exact thing. And then, and by the way, if last week was a fog machine, this week was, I mean, I couldn't describe how much smoke, but I had no way of avoiding it. I don't know how I could avoid it. So anyways, long story short, take the steak from there. Did 2 minutes less in the oven, so I did 9 minutes instead of the, I think it was 10 to 12 is what they were saying.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Let it sit, and it actually came out really good. It was pink in the center.
Yeah.
And I think it was a successful trip.
So there, yeah. Why did you try to conceal that? That sounds fine. It felt like you were holding on to, like, and then the kitchen caught on fire and the fire department showed up. And
if you saw the smoke in the kitchen, I couldn't see my girl who was standing.
That's normal.
Six
I mean,
feet away.
It is normal to have a good amount of smoke sometimes. But do you have like a fan above your oven, or do you have windows in your kitchen?
Have windows in the kitchen, so those were obviously opening up. She was ready to bring in like 11 fans to just kind of get this place.
I was gonna say, just do it before you cook your steak. That's what I do. I put my fan on before it even starts, and so it like kind of gets some of it away first.
What it is, Al, that you're gonna be the guy that you need the cast iron pan, and you're gonna need one of those giant box fans from Home Depot, and just put it right by the window and suck out all the smoke.
I'm gonna use the same ones they use in the NFL. They have those by the players.
The big fog. I believe it's called a big fog, and you could turn that thing on. Good. I'm glad it worked out. Are you now one of those guys that's going to do it more often, or are you like, yeah, that's dying? I did it once, and I'm good.
No, 100% we'll do it more often. It's nice. Actually, there's a – you said this before. Kind of nice, that whole process, kind of going through it, 100%. So it was but I kind of like trying to get one down. Let me get the New York steak down, and when I feel like I do, then we'll move on to something else.
It is a Bud Light Reaction Monday on 710 ESPN. We're reacting to everything that went down on the NFL Divisional Playoff Weekend. It is presented by Bud Light. Make Bud Light your game day beer. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. You must be 21 or older. Please enjoy responsibly. I am off the Brock Purdy train. He looked really, really nervous to me last night. He got it done. They won the game. They won that game because George Kittle made a bananas catch.
Yep.
They won the game because they were able to run the ball and spin a bunch of clock towards the end. Robbie Gould kicked a bunch of field goals, and Brock Purdy got away with at least three, if not more, balls that should have been interception that weren't. I don't think that happens 2 weeks in a row.
And they got away because Dak was not good. They got away because the offense of the Cowboys, I mean, the defense kept them in the game the entire time. They got away because Dak throws a pick in the end zone. And as you said, in those kind of predicament situations, they feel like they have to go for it on fourth down because of their kicker. So they won that game. I'm not trying to take away something from the 49ers, because all you're supposed to do in the postseason is advance.
True.
But they didn't look like they thrived, and that's why, you know, the Eagles thrived against the Giants. I mean,
they smashed them.
They smashed them.
Yeah.
The 49ers, I don't know if got away is the right way to put it, but kind of
they
survived.
They survived. They did not get the performance they needed at the most important position. But at least for a day, it didn't matter. But I like what you said too, Al, that Dak kind of gave them a little bit as well. That was especially at the end of the half like that, because Marr was just a basket case, and you can't really use him in that situation. You had to maybe be a little bit more aggressive than you might be otherwise. And that is a back-breaking interception that he threw, because you at least you need to have some points. Instead, San Francisco gets three going back the other way. And, I mean, what a difference it makes. Robbie Gould has been in the league since, you know, Y.A. Tittle and George Blanda, and he's still just automatic. He just trots out there and just bang. I can't remember the last time that guy missed a kick. And it's all, you call plays differently. You call your defense differently. Mm-hmm. Everything is different, because you know once you get inside about the 35-40-yard line, you got 3 points on the board. And Dallas just didn't have that luxury.
You don't see too many teams advance in the postseason who don't have a reliable kicker.
No.
Right? I know we joke around of, oh, it's just a kicker. Do your job. That job is critical,
it's
right?
Hard.
The teams,
it's hard.
And even if you put the hard to the side, but the teams that can rely on a good kicker, that are not worried about kicking a 50-yarder instead of going for it on a 4th-and-6 or something like that, that's just think about how much different that's for the play calling. Think about how much different it is when you want to be aggressive, when you don't, when you want to take chances, when you don't. Cowboys do not have that luxury,
and they're out. And it's not a coincidence. So very quickly, when Marr missed that first kick, it got blocked. But we both said, that was going to miss regardless. Your first emotional reaction was what?
He's done. That's what I thought. Because I thought about our conversation last week
where
we said, I'm giving him the first kick. But if he misses the first kick, the first extra point, there's really no other conversation to have. Like you had in three separate games – it's not like they all happened in one game. You had mentioned he missed one extra point the week prior, then he missed the four in a row, and then he comes out to start off this one. If he misses, I know he hit one, but he misses an extra point. That's kind of like, all right, now we're going for two, and we're going for it on fourth downs. But they still got a couple field goals in.
My first reaction was, I'm worried about this guy. This is not good, because this might be the end of his career you're looking at. Not just his end of his Dallas Cowboys. If he can't kick PATs, you just flat out can't use him.
Yeah.
And he clearly was a mental thing, not a physical thing. He's in his own head to such a point that if we're not going to use him, and they really didn't after that, that what happens to this guy moving forward? Very, very, very scary and a little bit funny, if I'm being honest, to just because six out of PATs, those are supposed to
okay,
be
what
absolutely
automatic. Okay, were you, when he's going up to kick, even when he's going to kick in the field goals, do you want him to hit it, or do you just enjoy the, I wanted him to hit the field goal?
I kind of did, because honestly, I was like, this guy needs a break. Like, I don't want to watch a guy have a nervous breakdown on TV. I really don't want to watch that. But when he made it, I'm like, yeah, kind of would have been interesting had he missed it. that might have been
instantly,
a little bit interesting.
Instantly you regretted it. You're like, gosh, dang
See,
it.
See, that's what you get for rooting for somebody. Always root against, Al. Always, always, always root against. Factor Cap is coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey guys, so my first emotional reaction to what happened with Brett Maher was to laugh. I laughed. So my friends were over, we were watching the game, we had pizza and everything, and then I was explaining to some of them, my roommates who hadn't watched, didn't know what happened with Brett Maher. I was like, so this is what happened to this guy before the kick, so this is why if it misses, we are going to erupt in laughter, and that's what happened. And it was honestly great.
It was, so I'm watching it with Michael, Al. And he misses that first kick, and Michael's a pretty sensitive kid, and he just says to me, "Dad, that's it."
Yeah,
just like what's going on? Like what? How, I feel for this guy. He just looks at me, "Dad, he missed again." Like, I know, man. Just look away. Don't look directly at it.
You set it up earlier that what if they scored a touchdown? They're down 19-12.
Yes,
and now it's 19-18. And you're putting him back in there to take the game to overtime, or are you saying, yeah, I'm going for two?
I'm going for two.
I can't argue it.
Yeah. What do you got for us, Sam?
Yeah. All right. So in the Chiefs-Jaguars, someone on Twitter, a Jaguars fan, was trying to, I guess, like shame a Chiefs fan. So she had they were up in like the 500 sections of Arrowhead, and she pulled out of her pocket a baked potato and then started eating a baked potato while watching the game. So she's just getting her carbs in. She's trying to keep herself, you know, to get less drunk. But he posted on social media to essentially shame her, and she came back and shamed him for like videotaping her. Regardless, it was funny. So a pocket baked potato is nothing to be ashamed of. Travis Fettercap.
I'm kind of inspired. I think she's an innovator. I think this is something I didn't know was an option that I'm intrigued by. I'd like to hear more of her presentation. Like, do you bake it the day before and just keep it warm in some foil? Do you have to do it right before you leave for the stadium? Is she baking them on the grill out in the parking lot? Does she have sour cream and chives and butter in her other pocket to get this thing going? Who doesn't like a baked potato? I didn't know it was a handheld food, but yeah, I think she's an innovator.
Al?
Yeah, I'm going to go Cap on this one. Not exactly the best snack that I want to have, and I think it's because of what you just said, Trav. I would like to load up my potato.
Well, sure.
There's some work that needs to be done to it, right? I mean, it would be in a perfect world. At the tailgate, yes, absolutely. Maybe they ran out of time at the tailgate. And she decided, all right, I'm just going to take the potato and I'm going to get up there. But it's not going to be my favorite one. I will say that is, I'm with you on the someone taking a video of her eating the potato. So you just randomly taking a video, posting it up, kind of calling her out. That's a little weird, buddy. little weird to do that.
But I'm just saying, one, how does it get through security? They scan you. They look in your pockets, take everything out of your pockets, and you pull out a baked potato, and they're like, okay,
respect. But if
respect,
it wasn't
come
wrapped
on
in anything, I mean, it's just you got a big lump in your pocket.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nobody's business.
Well, and what is a security guard going to do? If I'm checking people and they have a baked potato, I'm just like, just go through. I don't know what you want me to do with this.
Honestly,
I'd ask for half and then let them go through.
I do think it's good on her to get some carbs in so she doesn't get too drunk. Taylor?
Cap, I like this idea. The tinfoil will be the problem. You can't probably sneak that in very well. So putting all the sour cream, the butter on, and then not having anything to place it on. I don't know. You need a plate once you get in the stadium. There's a lot of, you know, factors that you have to consider going into this. But it's a genius idea.
All right. So
a lot of work.
I don't know. It seems great. And honestly, it's probably saves her a bunch of money. I think she's great. So Daniel Jones in the game against the Eagles lost his contact. So then he had to find the contact, got to put it back in, get new contacts, all the good stuff. So middle of a football game is the worst place to lose your contact. Alan, Fetter Cap.
Yeah, because it's on the turf or the grass or whatever they got there in Philly. That's got to be the worst. Because if it's on a basketball floor, which we've seen it happen, at least, okay, it's hardwood. They keep the floor so clean the entire time as well. Like there's... I think it would be easier to grab. Now, I don't have contacts. I don't wear contacts. I think both Trav, you and Taylor have talked about having contacts on in the past. I think there are worse places, or I don't think there's a worse place than a football field.
Trav?
There's no good place to lose it, first of all. I wore contacts for 20 years, probably, maybe 15. But if you lose it, it is awful because now you either have to take the other one out and you can't see a thing, or now you're going to be putting in one hand over your other eye the entire time trying to figure out like a pirate kind of situation which eye is better to look through. I've lost them playing golf before, and you can't do anything. It's like you're asking everybody, where'd it go? What's this? What's that going on? It is never a good place to lose it. But in an NFL game, at least then it's gone and they're disposable now, right? Like hopefully the trainer's got a backup set that he can just pop in over on the sidelines and keep it moving. It's not like they used to be where if you lost it, you know, you had to sell your car to replace it. It doesn't exist like that anymore.
Yeah, and maybe like if he was seeing ghosts, it would make more sense if he had like one contact out. Taylor?
Cap, so I wear contacts too, and I think the worst place to lose it would be in traffic, say on the 405 or somewhere like that, where, you know, it gets stuck in the back of your eye or it falls out completely and you don't have any way of, I mean, you got to pull over at that point. I can't see crap without my contacts, so that'd be a nightmare.
All right, so yesterday, my friends and I, they came over. We had like, you know, I had the pizza, but everyone else kind of brought snacks and other good stuff. And one of the things that did not get eaten in with my group was the queso dip. So queso dip is overrated. Taylor, Factor Cap.
I don't know. I don't hear people really rating it highly that often. I think it's properly rated. You know, it's something that I'll turn to sometime at a party that has that kind of food, but I don't know. It's properly rated.
Trev?
I think Taylor's right. It's fine if you do it really well with some chilies and a little bit of heat and a little bit of cayenne and those sorts of things. You can kind of elevate it a little bit, but just general queso, like out of a jar or something like that that you're heating up, is pretty mid to begin with. So I'm with Taylor. I think it's properly rated. It is an item that if you said to me, hey, Trav, bad news, all of the queso in the history of the world has been eradicated forever, I'd be okay with that. I could keep it moving, and it wouldn't bother me all that much.
Ow. Well, I love also on the cans, it's like sort of made with, or in the jars, sort of made with real cheese. You know, like, sounds good. That sounds appealing. Listen, if we're doing a power ranking of dips here, it's further down the ranking, yes, right? It's not in, you got your guacamole, you got your salsa. There's things way ahead of the queso dip. So I think it kind of goes what you just said, Taylor. It's properly rated. I'm not walking in looking for that. I'm looking for a lot more things. And if that's the only thing left, then okay, we'll take a couple chips, dip it in there, but I don't need it.
Nothing's worse than like really bad stadium nacho cheese. Ugh. And it's just like drenched over something you got. It just ruins a meal. So yeah, not a fan.
Emily, did you make the queso?
I did not make the queso. It was a friend that brought
okay,
it
good.
And they brought it from a jar.
Yeah,
so,
I was just going to ask you because that's a weird thing when you're the person that makes the thing that no one eats. It's like, oh boy.
No, that's when you just keep going around and putting it on people's plate. Hey, let me
top put
a spoon
you off
of this
right here. The burger looks like it's queso free. Let me load that thing up.
Right, exactly. So I'm going to play this clip. It's from Sal Palantonio. He was the on-site at the Eagles game, and he was talking about a fun thing that happened with their tailgating over there.
Well, I rolled up here, you know, last night, and a lot of guys were in line to get tickets to the Philadelphia Wings lacrosse game at 1 o'clock. And I'm like, okay. Fellas, what are you doing? They said, well, if we get tickets to the lacrosse game, we can get into the parking lot at 8 a.m. Yes. and start drinking for the Eagles game.
That is smart.
It's a Philly thing. It's a Philly thing.
It's great. And then also one of the things about Philly is like all of their stadiums are like all right next to each other. So like Wells Fargo, the Lincoln Financial Field, and their Phillies stadiums all right there. So it's really fun. But the longest that you can tailgate is 4 hours. Travis, factor cap.
Cap, I have one tailgate on my books every single year that lasts far longer than 4 hours. Now, if I was doing it every weekend, I don't know if I need a 6, 7, 10-hour tailgate, you know, 10 times a year. But we do the Rose Bowl tailgate. The one in the morning is about 4 hours long. The one in the afternoon is about, I don't know, 2.5, 3, somewhere it is. So it's a nice full day, but I don't need to do it all the time. And it's not just for the drinking, which, don't get me wrong, I like to have a couple of cocktails along the way, but it's for the eating. You can't stuff it all in a short period of time. You got to kind of stretch it out a little bit.
Al?
This is a fact for me. The 4 hours is, that's plenty. That's perfect. I'm going to use as an example when Berg and I went to Chargers, Raiders, first game of the season at SoFi. I think we got there around 10 a.m. Kickoff was around 1:25. We had plenty of time to do everything. We had plenty of time to drink, plenty of time to walk around, plenty of time to get to the stadium, plenty of time to go through the lines, get some stuff at the concession, and then sit and literally kickoff starts. 4 hours is perfect for me.
Taylor?
I'm with Slee. Yeah, 4 hours. Even that's kind of pushing it, you know. But 2 or 3 would be ideal if it's cold weather especially. But, yeah, 4's, yeah, that's a good time.
By the way, is Philly going to become the team that you got the Phillies that lose in the World Series,
oof,
the Union lose to LAFC in the MLS?
Right. Mm-hmm. The Flyers aren't any good, so don't worry about that.
But could the Eagles be the team that gets to the Super Bowl? Could they have 3 teams in the same year, Trav?
By the way,
they get Sixers, to the championship?
The Sixers could easily find their way into the finals and lose,
sure,
too.
Sure, sure.
That's not a totally unrealistic scenario. I'm kind of rooting for it.
Grease the poles, everybody.
I'm sure that the people in Philadelphia will take it in good humor. Just they're
oh, they'll be completely okay with it.
Very,
yeah,
easygoing sort of citizenry in Philadelphia. No reaction whatsoever. Looking at the AFC, looking at where the Chargers are and what they have, are they ever going to crack that? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. So I don't know if you've infected me. I don't know if this is something that
it's just a good start.
Where that because we spent a lot of time together, we're going to start to see things similarly and whatnot. But I've kind of got this Charger thing going that I think you'd appreciate.
Okay.
I'm watching the games this weekend. You watch Josh Allen, who's terrific, made some bad decisions, but what he's going to be in the mix for a very long time. The Bills are going to be in the mix for a very long time. You look at Patrick Mahomes, I don't even need to say anything else, right? He's Patrick Mahomes and keep it moving. Joe Burrow has established himself, if he's not the best quarterback in football, then he's tied with whoever is the best quarterback in football. You got Lamar Jackson in the AFC. Mm-hmm. You got Tua, when he was playing, was pretty darn good as well. And then you got Herbert and the Chargers. And these guys keep getting either not in at all or bounced early. I didn't mean Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence looked, sure, really good during, mm-hmm, the postseason this year. They're in a really weird spot because you look at McDermott and Allen, sure. You look at what Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Zach Taylor are doing, sure. We know what KC is. Doug Peterson plus Trevor Lawrence looks like a team that's going to be a good team for a while. And then you got Justin Herbert, who can make every throw there is to make in a football field. But what are we talking about with this team? They're constantly underachieving. And these are only AFC. We're not even talking about Jalen Hurts and the 49ers and those teams. Just in that half of the draw, they're like the 7th or 8th best team, even though they have a quarterback that may be generationally talented, and they can't do anything for the guy. They are set up for failure for the foreseeable future.
All right. I remember when, was it 2 weeks ago now, Chargers were up 27-0. They end up losing that game, right? 31-30. End up losing that game. I know it kind of sounds funny, but
it is funny.
We right when that game happened, and then we had our show on Monday, kind of late into the Chargers, and the conversation started about Staley. Oh, Staley gonna, is he staying? Is he not? They end up firing their offensive coordinator. They end up firing, I think, their quarterbacks coach, something like that. So they made small moves. You know, the garage is flooded underwater, but we're gonna put new windows in the living room so nobody notices what's going on in the garage. Everything you just said is right, and I'm going to go back to – it starts at the top. It really, really does. Because I think if you took Herbert and you put him with an organization that had a lot of pressure to win, if you put him in an organization where their number one goal is to win, that their fan base does not allow them – you know, they're using platforms like Sports Talk, whatever the case is, to really, really get on them every single week if they're not performing or they're underperforming – it would be, for Justin Herbert, somebody of that talent. The Chargers didn't lack talent in the playoffs this year. They didn't lack talent last year. They should have been a playoff team. But what they do lack, in my opinion, is someone at the absolute top that understands, I got to do whatever it takes to find a way for a guy like Justin Herbert to succeed at the absolute most, because he is one of those guys. And I'm not saying that he can't do it, but I don't think that organization, it's tougher to do it with the Chargers than it would be with the Steelers or the Ravens or the Patriots or the Kansas City Chiefs, some of these other teams that I feel like from top to bottom they're better run.
Well, let's look at it like this, right? So Jacksonville got into the divisional round of the playoffs, and they did it the year after being the worst team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it, and I'm not going to compare Brandon Staley to Urban Meyer, because Brandon Staley is Sean McVay compared to Urban Meyer. But the point is, they changed, really, and they went out and got Christian Kirk, and they did some other things as well. But they got a lot better talent-wise, and then they went out and got a real NFL head coach in Doug Peterson, because Shad Khan said, all right, Meyer is a clown. Yep. Get him out of here. Go get me a real guy. And happened really, really quick. The Chargers are going to continue to do this thing where they kind of, they're, like you said, they've got plenty of talent. But when you look at this three-headed monster, right? Owner, quarterback, coach. They're dead last, because the only thing they have figured out is the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Where when you look at the owner, quarterback, coach combination of these other teams, whether it's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, or whether it's Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor, or whether it's Sean McDermott and Josh Allen, these are really good combos or three-headed monsters, and you have a coach that has been in the way and an owner that doesn't seem to care that he's in the way and is unwilling to fix it. If I'm Justin Herbert, I'm banging my head on the desk.
Well, and that's the part that John mentioned this 2 weeks ago. Where's the pressure going to come from in L.A.? And I don't think that pressure is going to be there, because even if you and I say, oh, I can't believe Spanos is doing this, doing that, it's going to go away. And, you know, what'd it take, 2 days, and then the conversation just went away?
Yeah.
So Dean can just sit back and be like, all right, well, this fire is going to go out here pretty quick. And he can continue to operate in a winning is not the most important thing matter, because I think that's clear for the Chargers. And by the way, that was the case in San Diego, too. It's not like this just started in L.A. Right. In San Diego, it's just different because they were one of the big fishes. Here, they're a small fish in a big pond.
Is Mace coming in next? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, Mace is going to come. I think John's going to come in too. So we'll start things off a little early here.
I got a 12 o'clock tea time that I got to get to, Slee. As a Riviera person, I'm going to have to leave it right here with
you. Okay, real quick before, can you give us what's it looking like? When's lunch?
It is.
What are you going to do drink wise? Help us out here.
The lunch is already come and gone. I missed that because I'm here with you. There'll be some drinks out on the course, some sodas and Gatorades and things like that. But it's a perfectly beautiful day, a little windy, and I'm going to go shoot 900, but I'm going to enjoy every single second of it. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.